The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
Michael Barr is off for this week, which is too bad because it's a big week for football
fans.
Bad. Well, maybe that's why he's off, right?
Well, we finally reached the Super Bowl, right? I mean, that's where we are, Scarlett. I mean, we've got Jalen Hurts and the Eagles against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
So to get us ready for the big game and for all the upcoming off-season headlines, we welcome a guest who can take us behind the scenes of it all.
Lee Steinberg is founder and chairman of Steinberg Sports and Entertainment, a firm that has guided, literally, the careers of hundreds of athletes, broadcasters, coaches, and more, including, of course, representing one of the biggest names in this year's big game, that of Mr. Patrick Mahomes himself.
Snap to Mahomes, pump faking, now moving to his left, angling, will he run it? He will, at the far side angle, and stretches out, touchdown!
Lee, welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Happy to be with you.
So, Lee, last year was the year of the wide receiver in NFL free agency, but this year appears to be all about the quarterback. So let's begin with Patrick Mahomes, you know, who you advised on his 10-year, $450 million contract extension back in 2020, which at the time, of course, made him the NFL's highest paid player. Talk to me about Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, Geno Smith, Derek Carr, all the quarterbacks, Jimmy Garoppolo. Where are the most likely landing spots? And, of course, who goes to the New York Jets?
Well, I think you need to start with the premise that this has become a quarterback-centric league. And never has that position been so critical. And the game revolves around the concept of a franchise quarterback. And let's define that as someone that you can build around for 10 to 12 years, win because of rather than with. And most importantly, in critical situations, the quarterback has thrown a couple interceptions, the crowd is booing, the game's getting out of hand. What does he do now? Can he compartmentalize, adopt a quiet mind, and elevate his level of play to take a team to and through victory? And so, who goes where? Well, this is the biggest crop we've ever seen of free agent quarterbacks. You've got Lamar Jackson, you have Geno Smith, you have Aaron Rodgers making noise, mm-hmm. you have Tom Brady at least temporarily retired. 25% of players at the end of every season are beat up, bedraggled, exhausted, and they talk about retirement. And then magically, as 6 months go by in the off season, the game starts to beguile them again, and they change their minds.
Yeah.
This is going to be musical chairs in this off season.
Right. The idea of not being in football is just unheard of for these guys who spent their entire lives preparing for this this moment in the game. I'm curious to get your take on the era of the mobile quarterback versus the traditional pocket passer. Tom Brady kind of exemplifying the traditional pocket passer and your client Patrick Mahomes as a mobile quarterback. There's deeper value, you could argue, for traditional pocket passers because, by definition, their careers last longer. They're not as dependent on their bodies. There's less wear and tear. But I want to get your take on whether it's this mobile quarterback moment is simply kind of just in fashion for right now, and it's going to give way to traditional pocket passers once again.
I think that when you talk about Patrick, he really is not a scrambling quarterback. He's a pocket quarterback with escapability. When you look at Lamar Jackson, that's a running quarterback.
Third down two. It's Jackson. Oh, my gosh, here he goes. He'll sprint. He's being chased by Howard. Looking behind. You can kiss him goodbye. Touchdown. He is electrifying.
When you look at Arizona's quarterback, that's a running quarterback. A good part of their game is based on running. Quarterbacks like Patrick basically play out of the pocket, but they have the ability to get outside when need arises, and they can anticipate the rush. So he's sort of a fusion of both sides. And I think that the problem with the quarterbacks who rely on a heavy run is that defensive players are so big and strong and fast that you see those players that rely on scrambling get injured quite a bit.
Okay, this is really interesting. So give me the argument for why, or the economics for why mobile quarterbacks deserve to be paid more then, given that they are more likely to get injured and they're putting their bodies more at risk than the passers.
I think that there's a couple ways to look at that. First of all, they're not getting hurt going to Club Med. They're not getting hurt, you know, windsurfing. They're getting hurt doing what the team has asked them to do. So it's not as if they're defying the game plan. So the club is part of encouraging them to play that way. And so they should share the risk of the consequences of that play and be paid like everyone else. Now, the compensation level for the franchise quarterback is now up about $50 million a year, where Deshaun Watson is. And you're going to see that continue to increase because every new quarterback is getting that. I'm not sure what is happening in the Lamar Jackson situation, because generally you see those quarterback compensation packages come together very smoothly and easily. This is one situation where you've got a happy quarterback, happy to be in Baltimore. You have a team that's happy to have him, and yet I think the rub has been that the team is arguing that the Deshaun Watson contract with guarantees for all $50 million a year was an aberration, and the players arguing it's a new standard.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum, powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Well, Lee, I mean, you know, and to our audience, for those who are unaware, in addition to representing Mr. Patrick Mahomes, Lee also represents Tua Tagovailoa for the Miami Dolphins, who earlier this season obviously had, flirted with concussion protocols, right? Quite a bit, actually. And so, you know, Lee, we know you're a proponent of medical innovations. We know your work you've done on that part. But as we get into the draft, you know, as we look ahead here to, people like Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, you know, sort of rushing quarterbacks who are going to be entering the NFL, you know, what do we tell them? You know, what's in place? What sort of protections are there to ensure that, you know, they can have a long and viable career in the NFL?
We're actually having another concussion health brain summit at my Super Bowl party. It continues to be the existential threat to football. You've got bigger, stronger, faster athletes, and the G-force at the line of scrimmage is much accentuated. And so it's a problem. They have a better concussion protocol with people up in the press box who are looking for players that appear to be impaired. And you have people on the sidelines. They have stricter enforcement of blows to the head and neck. They have better protection for the quarterback and other players from helmet to helmet. but it continues to be a problem. Luckily, there are new brain treatments. One is called RTMS. And another is Dr. Tommy Shaver's with his Nestry program that actually operate around the theory of neuroplasticity and can start to remediate a concussed brain and make it better. So that's the good news, that we start to have a solution.
And pursuant to that, now that we're kind of going there, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, you know, NFL draft's right around the corner, Lee. I mean, who do we think Chicago takes at number one? Are they going to trade out of that pick? Are they going to take an edge rusher? What are we thinking here?
They have a pretty promising quarterback, and so that's not their need. So I'm guessing someone moves into that position and takes Bryce Young, who I think is the top talent. And then C.J. Stroud comes next. And those two quarterbacks look to me to be in or near the top of the draft. And then you have position players sort of filling it out. So, again, if those quarterbacks are going to be pushed up in position, but I think it's the Bryce Young sweepstakes.
Leo, I'm curious, how much business gets done during Super Bowl week? How much, obviously you'll be meeting with your clients, you'll be speaking with representatives from front offices, but is there a lot that how much can you lay the groundwork for the kinds of discussions that need to be had later on after the Super Bowl? What will you look to accomplish in this week?
We have a big Super Bowl party, and we give the humanitarian awards. So the Super Bowl has now become a convention of Americana. Big business, big politics, big sports, big entertainment. So first of all, you have marketing, and you want to anticipate which players are going to jump out at the Super Bowl. So it's not a surprise that it's a marketing bonanza. And so deals are laid in that window. Second of all, you have most general managers and owners there, and so you can anticipate the free agency deals that will happen. You want to lead that process. So if there are free agents, it's time to be thinking about what the available teams are for them. There are franchise tags coming up, and it's time for free agents who may want to stay with teams to be negotiated, and there's a window there. So everyone's going to be in. Everyone has been in Phoenix this last week, and there'll be quite a bit of business done.
Scarlett, you didn't get the invite to Lee's Super Bowl party?
I did not. Oh. I'm waiting for it, Lee.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll send pictures.
Mail service has been slow.
Yes. That's what we'll blame it on, for sure.
Well, Lee, I mean, that takes me, I guess, you know, to really just to work off of what Scarlett was saying. I mean, so right now, I mean, obviously we've got the Super Bowl coming up, but what happens after that? Take us through the calendar. You know, when can we expect to see that first free agent quarterback come off the board? You know, what are the big dates for you? What are you looking at?
Well, first of all, there's a window here where free agents still can negotiate with their incumbent team. So between now and the league year beginning in mid-March, those deals can happen. The first thing that will come up is teams have the ability to tag a franchise player. They can do that with one player. They'd rather not use that pick. They'd rather keep it in reserve, always just a threat that they can take one player off their roster and take him out of free agency. Then you've got the scouting combine coming at the end of February. So that's the Super Bowl of all scouting events. And free agency will come in March, as will pro scouting days back at the university or college of players. So scouting for rookies and draftees is in moving along very quickly. Free agency starts And the very beginning of free agency, that first week, you will see the hottest free agents come off the board very, very quickly. And they will come off the board in a way where in the first 3 or 4 days, the hottest free agents will come off. And free agency is a process where B-plus players get A-plus contracts.
Love that.
And by that I mean the fact that the true superstars of the league are preemptively extended or signed before their contract ever comes up. So they'll be, but those players who get the advantage of the free market are the only ones available, and teams get real competitive with each other.
Well, Lee, the New York Jets, the dart on a board. Which quarterback goes to the New York Jets this year?
You had to ask.
I had to ask.
Well,
dart on a board. We won't hold it to you.
Could it be the best looking quarterback? could it be the San Francisco 49er quarterback?
Interesting.
Who's the best looking? I'm trying to give you a hint here.
Yeah.
You know, could it be?
Well, it depends on taste.
It started with the Patriots. Could it be that quarterback?
Mm-hmm. Well, there you have it.
Tom Brady is not going to go broadcasting right away. Maybe he'll come to New York.
No, I mean, not a chance. Oh, why would he do that to himself?
I don't know. He's done it before, so it could always happen again. Lee, really appreciate your joining us today.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. Lee Steinberg is founder and chairman of Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. I'm Scarlett Fu, along with Damian Sassauer. Be sure to catch us here each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, where we discuss and dig into the world of money and sports. I'm on Twitter at Scarlett Fu.
And I'm on Twitter at DSassauer.
You are listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Do you love Elon Musk? Do you hate Elon Musk? Do you have no idea what to think about Elon Musk? Then we have just the show for you.
He's become even more larger than life.
Buying Twitter doesn't get us closer to Mars.
They are like really close to the edge of like everything falling apart.
Like, oh, Elon, I volunteer, put a chip in my brain.
Each week on this podcast, we'll break down, analyze, and debate the most important stories on Musk and his empire.
It's all one big universe. You just work for Elon Inc.
From Bloomberg Businessweek, this is Elon Inc. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.